Hello. Turn this light on, see if it helps a little bit. Turn it down a little bit. Sorry for the view, y'all. Oh. Okay. That's okay. It's not great, but how is everybody doing? Let's see. Where's my chat? Y'all come in and say hi. We've already got a couple of folks with their hands raised. Okay, so I just want to talk real quick. Just welcome everybody. I am Coach Betsy. Let me change my name on here. Y'all are so sweet. Let's see. Okay. So first off, let's just do some Zoom FYI for all you folks. Where is this anybody's first Zoom meeting? Or maybe one of your first if you've just joined us recently or just started listening. Oh, this is your first. Awesome. I hate it, y'all. The name cuts off in the chat. I know that I can make it bigger, but awesome. Okay. So some of y'all are here for the first time. So I just want to kind of give y'all some info on Zoom and how it works. And you got here, so you're in the right place. So you have done the basics. But how this works is that only everyone can see me right now, right? I can't see you. You're not on screen or anything like that. So you can only see and hear me. Everyone is just watching me right now. And the only way that you can be seen and heard is if you click on the raise hand button, which is somewhere down here. I don't have one since I'm actually doing the video, but there's a raise hand button and you can click on it if you want to get coached and come on to screen with me. But just if you want to get coached, be sure that you are somewhere where you've got a good internet connection, you've got good lighting, I can see you, and you're not driving or, moving around too much. So, hi, Susan, you're in Russellville. Awesome. How's the weather up there? We're having some precipitation, but it is, just like most southern states, we freak out about the weather down here, and it's like nothing. So, anyway, so that's kind of how Zoom works. And then you can also ask a question in the Q&A. It looks like someone has already asked a question, a good question. So I'll be answering that in a little while. But first, I want to, sleet this morning. It's cold, nasty rain here too in Little Rock. So I want to kind of talk about a little bit kind of what we got going on this week. I reread my Massive Action Line newsletter, the email that we get every week. And what are we doing this week, y'all? Actually, y'all tell me what we're doing this week. I want to see how many people have read their Massive Action Line newsletter. What are we focusing on this week when it comes to the hunger scale? Leaving bites behind. Very good. What else? 30-second pause, right? You stop in the middle of your meal. You just pause for 30 seconds, assess your hunger, and then decide if you want to keep eating or not, right? You may very well keep eating, or you might stop, or you might maybe decide to take a couple of bites and see how you feel, right? There's no right or wrong answer, and there is no wrong way to do it, right? Even going past your plus two is not wrong, because you are learning where your plus two is. And to learn your plus two, sometimes you have to go past it, right? So Kendra just said she did her 30-second pause. Jen, somebody, says they've been taking pics of all the bites that she leaves behind. I've been doing that too. I've kind of gone in waves of doing that, but we use the ATE app, ATE app. And that, I mean, you can have obviously just take a picture on your phone if you want to, but there's an app called ATE, and you can take pictures of your food, like before and after or just after. But I've just been taking pictures of my food after, just so I can scroll back and see all the food that I have left behind, right? No BS at your own pace. Absolutely. That's another thing that was in the massive action line. And that's what we're doing always. Drink water. Yes, that was, I think that was actually last week, was the going on the clock where you drink water and you wait an hour to see if you're really hungry, but absolutely you can keep doing that. So, but yeah, it's stopping at half and then also leaving a couple of bites behind no matter what. So yes, there is an app for everything. Yeah, the 30-second pause, like other people around you don't even have to know that you're doing it. Right? That's what's so interesting. You don't even have to say, okay, everyone, just so you know, I'm stopping halfway through and I'm assessing my hunger right now. No one cares, right? But you can just do it wherever you are and, you know, just focus on the conversation you're having if you're with other people, or just get really curious if you're by yourself, right? So it's not something that is a huge thing. Yes, the other one, whoever, I think somebody has brought up the email. We also talked a little bit about overwhelm at the end of the email. And one of the good ways to reduce overwhelm is to get out of any unofficial PNP groups with people in it that aren't, you know, aren't members and they don't know what you're talking about with all the no BS lessons. And I love what Corinne said in that part of the message where she said, you know, your job isn't to teach people. Right? I mean, if you love to teach and you love to do that, that's great, but you don't have to, right? That's not what you're here to do. You're here to learn. This is a place where you can be quote unquote selfish and you can just get your learn on and you don't have to bring anybody else along. That's on them. That's their responsibility. So yeah. So just be sure and read that newsletter every week, because that gives you all the information that, you know, all the stuff we're doing, that it's, you know, it's all totally optional, but it just kind of gives you kind of a sneak peek on what's going on for the week. It gives you all the calls that we've got going on. So that's important if you want to attend any of those or watch any of the replays. And then it just gives you like little bite-sized stuff to work on. So I wanted to include that. So let's see, anything else? The one other thing I wanted to do before we got started coaching, is that I was sitting here working. I was finishing up one of the private coaching calls that I do with one of my private clients through PNP. And I'm feeling a little hunger right now. I'm feeling some hunger, right? After this call, I'll be eating my dinner. And I thought, I wonder if y'all might be interested in hearing kind of what my hunger signals are. And so I just got really curious about it, because we're always getting questions about that. And of course, everyone is a little bit different, but it's always interesting to hear what other people's hunger signals are. And I think for me, it's definitely, I'm a little bit distracted, right? I've really got to, you know, to make a little bit more effort to kind of focus and just stay focused in what I'm doing. And then not even really a headache or anything, but just a little bit of pressure, you know, in my head. And then I definitely have signals in my stomach. I mean, I have gurgling. I have, as I continue to get more hungry over time, I get growls, like audible growls. But before that happens, it's just kind of this kind of hollow feeling in my stomach. And it's just like, it's kind of, I know it's getting ready to growl in the next 30 minutes to an hour or something like that. So it's just kind of this hollow feeling down here. And then sometimes I do start to yawn. Yeah, that's usually if I'm kind of past my negative two. If I go to negative three, negative four, I start to yawn. My energy level definitely kind of drops a little bit and stuff like that. So that's when I know I'm past my negative two. But I think it will be right on target for me to eat when I'm done with this call. So I thought that might be interesting to for y'all to hear about, and let me know if you have any questions about that. And yeah, let me see, make sure I'm not missing anything. And then the last thing, I promise this is the last thing, and then I'll we'll get to coaching. Don't forget, y'all, about our events that we have coming up. If any of you all want to come to Nashville for any of our events, we have several that are coming up. The one that's coming up the soonest is our transformation, or that you can still register for, is our Transformation Weekend with Kathy and Corinne that is focused on relationships. It's focused on relationships with others, but also on your relationship with yourself, because the key to having great relationships with others is to be very, very, is to just have a really good relationship with yourself. And all a relationship is thoughts in our mind about the other person. I remember when I learned that the first time, when I was going through coach training and learning all of this stuff, I was like, what? If I just think loving thoughts about someone, like that can be my relationship with them. They don't ever have to do anything for me, to me, say things to me, do things for me. I can just choose to love them and think loving thoughts about them. Whoa, right? That was a big deal. So I just think that area of your life is so important, but it starts with your relationship with yourself. So if y'all are interested in, there's still some spots available. It's in March. I was pulling it up right now, March 6th through 8th. There is a place on the website under live events that tells you, it's called Transformation with Kathy. It's going to be Kathy and Corinne, and they're also going to be doing a live podcast. I have had the privilege and the honor of actually watching them podcast over at Corinne's house one time, and it was so much fun and so neat to just kind of visualize and be able to see how it all works. And everyone who's there is going to get to see that and get to just be like a live audience, a live studio audience. So that's just an amazing little bonus. The other thing is our Don't Stop Believing race that we have coming up in June. Let's see, give you all the dates real quick. And we just announced that there's also a virtual component to it, right? Where you don't have to come to Nashville. You can just train on your own and race on your own. When we say race, we're not talking about, you know, trying to beat other people or anything. It's just running your race, right? And so, but the race itself, sorry, it's not June, it's May 15th through 17th in Nashville. And then there's also the virtual component. Yeah, sorry, y'all, May. And it's always been in June the last couple of years. And that's why I said that. And then the last thing is our camp. And let's see here. We still have openings available for the July camp and also October. So all those events are, all the information is over at pnptribe.com under live events. So let me know if you have any questions in the Q&A about any of that. I see some of y'all are headed to DSV, doing the virtual race. The resources that are provided for that race in terms of the training plan and the support that you get, and then, of course, all the swag and the fun for that is amazing. No way, Kendall. It's not too soon for a newbie to come to camp. I mean, even if y'all just joined, come on. You know, if you want to do it, if you want to have that experience, come on. We would love to have you. So best come to October camp. So it's going to be amazing. So you don't want to miss your chance. Take advantage of it while it's still, because it will, they'll all sell out. They'll all sell out eventually. If you're going to train for the half marathon, do you need to level up and eat more healthy foods most of the time? Robin, you will be able to answer you will get all the information you will ever want to know about fueling your training and your racing if you register for that race, whether you do virtual or in person. There are going to be entire calls on race fueling. I am not an expert on race fueling. I do not run any longer than 3 miles. I love my 3 miles because I don't have to mess with all that fueling stuff. But you'll absolutely get. So you registered. So absolutely just save your questions for all of that, because you're going to get so much information about that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So let's see. All right. I think that's it. All right. Let's get started on coaching. I've only got three in line, so I need to see some more people raising their hand and getting in line, because I want to coach at least, you know, six or seven of y'all. Okay. Melissa, Kendra, and Katie are up first. Let's see. There she is. Hi.
Hey, Betsy. How are you?
Good.
What's going on? Thanks. Okay, so this is the first time I've coached with you. I'm pretty excited.
Yes.
You wind up getting in on Kathy's nights somehow.
Well, I mean, I am going to be coaching. I think I'm coaching the next three calls. So tonight, Sunday, and the next Wednesday, because we're all going to be in Nashville for the 6-day training that that's going on. So, people get all kinds of opportunities to coach with me the next week or so. So,
oh, that's awesome. Okay, so just a tiny little bit of background so I can frame this and it makes sense for you. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have six children, and I'm home with them all the time. One of them is, two of them are medically complex, but one of them is a medically fragile little girl, and she requires tons of care, and she's pretty intense just in her own personality and herself. And she, you know, wants somebody with her and playing with her and meeting her needs all the time, which is awesome. And I have always loved what I do. I'm going to have to turn this light down a little bit, actually. Sorry. There, that's better. Love it. It was the plan. I left corporate America years ago, left my job, which was the higher paying of our two jobs between my husband and myself. And it was the plan for me to stay home with my kids. But lately I've been struggling a whole lot with just the thought, okay, everybody else has their life going on. Mm-hmm. Like my other children, I have older teenagers and they all train in various things. And my husband, they're all, you know, doing their own things. And I have struggled with this thought of, okay, hey, what about me? And just that everybody is, everybody's fine. As long as everybody knows mom's at home and she's got the littles, mm-hmm. we just go and do whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. And, I've never struggled with that before. Never struggled with that until recently when my daughter's care just kind of amped up. So I'm touching her, doing something for her like every 2 hours around the clock, even 2 hours at night. Mm-hmm. And my husband, you know, he goes to work. He works a full-time job and then he leaves there and goes straight to our martial arts studio where he trains with all of our older kids. And then they come home, you know, later on in the evening. And by then, you know, it's time for our daughter to go to bed. And so I find up kind of sitting up late at night just to have, you know, some time where I can just kind of think for myself. And so I've worked on that a whole lot to get myself to go to sleep and mm-hmm. not eat during that time. So that's kind of framing background. So just this past weekend, I had asked my husband, I pointed out, I said, hey, I love that you go and train with our children. I love everything that you do. I appreciate you. But I really need some time where I am not responsible for anybody but myself. Could you come home one evening a week and just be an extra body here to where there's somebody else with ears out in the house? And he tries to give me kind of Friday evenings too to leave the house by myself. For a couple of hours, which is wonderful, you know, and he absolutely said, yeah, I'll come home mm-hmm. on Tuesdays. I had asked them for an hour, like an hour and a half on Saturdays for me to go do a class with one of our service dogs, mm-hmm. just go do something different.
You enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so last Saturday, my husband wound up being on call at work And when he's on call, he has to work a block of time on Saturday. And so when he does that, he did it like right in that time frame when I was supposed to go to the class. My older children called at the last minute and said, "Hey, we're going to go out to eat with some of our friends, so we won't be right home." And then, like, my parents live really close to us too. Like, we live sort of multi-generationally on farmland. And, like, right after that, my parents called and said, "Hey, we're going to go and do this." And so I was like, this is the one time that I asked that I could carve out, and I'm sitting here and everybody's gone and everybody's doing their things and I'm giving up.
What did you make that mean when all that happened? Let's do the model on that. Are you new or are you?
I know.
Okay, you've been around for a little while.
So April last year. Yeah. Okay. So I know all about the model and I've.
You know all the model.
Yeah. I'm familiar and I love modeling.
Okay.
The queen of TDLs.
This was on Saturday, right?
Yeah. So Saturday, everybody left.
Okay. Let's just do Saturday for a second. So what did you make all that mean? You know, let's say you Saturday plans. You had plans for Saturday, right?
Yes.
And then everyone left is a thought, actually, because I mean it's got some emotion tied to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean where it's like, I mean, you know, so it's like kind of everyone left me. So yeah. I mean,
where I'm struggling. I've been trying to model this myself, and I can't get down to the circumstance with.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the circumstance. I'll even kind of add a little bit more room for it. So you had plans on Saturday, right?
Yes.
And you told me all the circumstance, right? Husband was on call.
Yeah. Went to work.
Husband went to work. Mm-hmm. Your kids.
Went out with friends.
Because sometimes I think just getting the circumstance factual and neutral is some of the best work, right, that you can do, right? Because then you're really able to recognize what your thoughts are about it. So kids went with friends, and then your parents. Went out, right?
Yes. And so I've totally worked through this. Like, I know this is not my parents' responsibility, even though I know that they jump in sometimes and are really willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought was, okay, my husband should have, if he knew that he was supposed to be the one at home responsible, he should have contacted my parents or done something.
Okay. You know? So
my thought was like, okay, well, nobody thought about me.
Everybody, no one thought about you, right? And do you think, and when you have a thought, this is good for everybody to kind of think about, like when you have a thought that is about someone else, right? That's like about your husband, like he should have done this, or no one thought about me, right? You want to ask yourself, that's kind of it's kind of this concept called the mirror, like you're putting the mirror on other people. But you want to turn the mirror around and look at yourself and say, okay, what am I making all of these thoughts mean about me? So what are you making all this mean about you?
What am I about me?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nobody cares about me.
Nobody cares about me. And you also ask yourself a question earlier when you were talking about everything. You said, "What about me?"
Yeah.
Right. And when you're asking yourself a question, any question, when you're kind of doing your thought work or just thinking, you want to answer you want to answer your own questions.
Right.
Because your brain wants to answer questions because it wants to stay, like, but it doesn't want to answer them. It likes to ask questions because then you get to kind of stay in confusion. Like, why can't I lose weight? And why can't I figure this out? And all these kind of, why do I keep overeating? Right. All these kind of questions. But then when you actually force your brain to answer them, what about me? Right. What about me? Like, what, with everything that's going on, what is it about me that I'm thinking right now? And so no one cares about me. Is that what you, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I don't know, almost that it's like, this sounds terrible. Almost like it's not fair, or it's inequitable. Mm-hmm. And, but then like, I always stop myself with that because I'm like, no, like my children are not a burden. Like, especially my little kids, they're not.
Like, but I think that, I mean, there's something, you know, there's a concept of like pausing the model, right? Where like you think something and then you're like, no, I don't want to think that. I want to practice something new. But I think what's happening with you is that you're judging your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
You're like thinking, I shouldn't be thinking this. You know, I think it's not fair. I think no one cares about me. And then you're thinking, oh, but I shouldn't be thinking that. That's bad of me to think that. I'm their mom. I, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's where you want to stay with this model, because you want to just be aware of that and say, no, it's okay. I can think whatever I want. Right?
I don't want to think that.
No, but have to kind of live in this model, at least for a little while, just to be in acceptance of it, right? And just be like, it's okay, and work on not judging yourself with it. Because you can think anything. It doesn't mean anything about you. And you also don't have to play out the rest of the model if you don't want to. But it's just being okay with any sentence that comes into your mind, and just being like, okay, it's just a thought. It doesn't mean anything about me. It doesn't mean that I have to act on that thought. But it's okay that I think it. Okay. So how does it feel when you think no one cares about me?
Like kind of hurt or frustrated or angry. Lots of things.
Lots of things, right? And that's the other thing about owning your thoughts, is that then you kind of own your feelings, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because if you're just resisting, like, oh, I shouldn't feel hurt or frustrated, I chose this, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? You're not really addressing what's going on, right? You're just resisting what's going on. So frustrated, angry. And so then, like, with this specific example, what did you do or not do on that day?
What were my actions?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just, I was kind of, well, I was angry and I cried, and then, like everybody came home, I didn't engage like I normally do. And I just didn't want to talk to anybody, and,
kind of shut down.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. I think I finally, when my husband got home, he was like, what is wrong? So I finally talked to him.
Yeah. So you kind of, you know, we know that the think, feel, act, you know, the cycle, this is a cycle, right? That goes around.
Right.
So what do you think your result is here after all of this?
Well, nothing happened.
Right. It's just like nothing changed, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you just continue to think, you know, nothing really got resolved. You just continue to think that no one cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it sounds like maybe you moved into a more intentional model, maybe after your husband came home, or not?
Yeah, I just explained what had happened. I was just like, hey, we're kind of back in this place again where, you know, everybody's happy and nobody's responsible for anybody else as long as you guys are gone and I'm here, and everybody left and everybody did their own thing. And you know, I, you know, no worries. I canceled the one thing that, that I wanted to do. And so of course, you know, everybody was, except for my parents, you know, we didn't even say anything to them, but my husband was really apologetic and he was like, you know, I'm really sorry. He said, I didn't even think about, you know, changing my routine to a different time. It's awful. Like I still stayed mad. I was just, you know,
but yeah, but like you saying it's awful, right? That's you judging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And that, I mean, that judgment, you know, Coach Kathy always talks about it being like a layer of tar on top of your, on top of your thoughts, on top of the thoughts that you're already having. Then you're having this layer of tar of like, I shouldn't be thinking this, you know, this is terrible. Can't believe I'm thinking this, right? And it's just like,
yes,
peeling off that and just saying, okay, I just keep thinking that no one cares about me and that's okay. It's okay that I'm thinking that right now.
Okay.
Is it okay that you're thinking that?
I'll have to work on that thought. I gotta practice that one for a while.
And there's just
I really don't want to be thinking that.
What'd you say?
Because I really don't want to be thinking that.
Yeah. And so when you hear yourself saying, like, I don't want to be thinking that, I mean, there's kind of a fine line. And I was actually working with my coach on this the other day, where it's like, you want to be okay with whatever sentence comes into your mind, right? I was saying that. But that's where the acceptance comes in, that you can then say, okay, I'm okay with being here and I understand what's going on and why I'm getting the result that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay that this happened this way. And then from that place, you can move over to, okay, and now I think I want a different result from this. You know, if this were to happen again, and so let's work on that. If this were to happen again, so none of this changes. I mean, you know, if this, you know, you can talk to your husband and do, but, you know, something's probably going to happen again where he forgets or whatever it is, right? You don't want to depend on other people changing.
Right.
You want to decide how you want to show up in this same circumstance again. And so let's start with the result line. What do you want? What result do you want from something like this happening again? Or if you could go back and do it over again.
Can I just be honest and say I have no idea?
Okay, yes.
I wouldn't want to, like, I just want everybody to be like, oh, you know, because I feel like I think about everybody else before I plan anything, before I do anything.
I'm so glad you're being honest, because this is the key. Like, this is like, you want to put, you know, in your result line, you want to, you know, we always say in the result line, you know, no one else can be in the result line, right? Of your model. So the result can't be that all these people do something different next time.
Right. Right.
And so yeah. And so
I guess the result would be, maybe the result I'm looking for is that everybody still does this and I'm okay with it.
And I'm okay with it. Right. And I mean, it may not be that you are thrilled with it, right?
Right.
But you're maybe not, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you can absolutely, like, there's nothing wrong with that other model that we did, right? I mean, there's nothing to say that you want to change it now or anytime in the future. If that's what you want, you know, you can feel frustrated, angry, and all of that if you want to.
But I don't. I don't want to feel that way.
So, but I'm just throwing that out there, right? And just saying,
right.
Like, sometimes you just need to be in this place for a while and just know that it's your responsibility, right? It's not all of this going on. It's you choosing to think that they don't care about me. Right. And so for you to be okay with it, let's go to the thought line. So what could you think instead if something like this were to happen again?
Okay. So I've modeled this a million times since
then. Have you come up with anything?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I've tried to insert the, oh, are you gone?
No, I'm here.
Here. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Okay. I can see you. The thought of, I just need to say more and remind everybody, mm-hmm. you know, the night before, or the thought of they just forgot.
Yeah.
Or,
but I want you to, again, that's kind of focusing on them, right?
Right.
I want you to really, here's something that I think about when I hear, you know, when I hear your story and, you know, I can see it, you know, in a more objective way than you can. And it's like, wow, they must just really think I'm an amazing mom because they're good with just doing all this other stuff. Like, they know that I'm just going to handle it. Right? I mean, you know, it's like, why not use this as an opportunity to, like, reinforce how amazing you are instead of thinking they don't care about me. It's probably the opposite, right? Where yeah. they're like, they know that I am going to be there for them because I have been there for them.
And can I just say that they are all incredibly amazing people? Yes. We have raised amazing young adults. I mean, yes. they are all beautiful.
But I think the you know, the thoughts of like, I just need to remind them and, you know, all that kind of stuff is great, but it needs to come from a place of, you know what? They just depend on me to take care of everything. But, you know, bless their hearts. They just know that I'm going to just handle it. And so I just need to like remind them that, you know what? Mom needs a break too. And they probably just don't, they're just not even thinking about that because I just take care of all of it all the time. Because I'm awesome that way. Right?
That thought.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a much better thought.
Then they don't care about me, right?
Yes. And that like I do not do the whole pity party thing. And so I think I got mad at my own thoughts.
Yes, you totally got lost in the judgment of your thoughts rather than like sitting here going, okay, I keep thinking they don't care about me. Well, that's bullshit. You know, that's, of course they do. I mean, like you just said, they're amazing kids. So you got lost in the judgment. And so you didn't even question that thought, you know, you didn't even, or you were judging it. You weren't really just saying like, what if maybe it's just a sentence and I don't have to believe it and I don't have to act on it,
right.
You know? And so sometimes a thought, I mean, you can just flip it like this where it's like, they don't care about me. What if I thought they totally care about me? And that's kind of where I got that thought, from, you know, those other thoughts from. It's like, well, what if it's the opposite? And they care about me so much that they feel fine going and doing these other things because they know that I'm going to take care of things like I always do. And so that kind of opens up your mind to some new thoughts. But again, when you're in that judgment, then you're not really able to, because like you said, you've done models on this, but you were just kind of closed off from what the other possibilities were.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I work the model down from yes. the new thought, then I can be okay with it.
So how does that feel like to think all that, you know, all the thoughts and I want you to go back and listen and really, you know, take notes, write out really what a thought, you know, what the thought is for you. But it's something like, well, I'm just so amazing that they feel fine going and doing whatever. So how does that feel?
Proud or confident or grateful, really. Just yeah. odd that came out.
Yeah, grateful. And I think for you, like similar to weight loss, you know, we talk about compelling reasons. you know, I want you to kind of come up with compelling reasons for why you choose to, you know, to do this, right? Why you choose to live your life like this. So that when something like this does happen, I mean, and you talked about it at the beginning of the call, and you can take notes on that too, where it's like, you know, you quit your job, you all chose to do this. And, you know, you talked about it in a way of like, I love this. I love my life. But we all need to be reminded of why we're chosen. I mean, I get to like work from home and coach people all day. How awesome is that? But sometimes I get in my dirty diaper, right, about it for whatever reason. So we all have to remind ourselves that.
Okay, maybe just go back and think about all the reasons why we chose to do this in the beginning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so when you feel proud, confident, grateful, what are you doing or not doing?
Just showing up better. Mm-hmm. Like when my family comes home and just being that better version of me.
And you can include like, you know, conversations with them, reminding them about things. But that all of that, you know, like next time, will you do this or that? But, you know, and if they do it, that's just bonus, right? Because you're still going to be this amazing mom no matter what, because that's what you've chosen for these reasons, right? And you like your reason. So it's just you're not depending on the circumstance changing, right? But it's just like, okay, I mean, no matter what happens, you know, if they do something different, great. But whatever happens, I'm showing up because this is what I've chosen and this is how amazing I am.
Okay.
And that gets you out of that pity party. Right? Okay. To continue to remind yourself of, but again, it's all totally normal, right? It's just reminding yourself that, I mean, that's why we have this work, right? If everything just went perfect all the time, we wouldn't need all these tools. But the good news is that you have the tools. It's just a matter of not judging yourself when you need to use them.
Right.
Or you need to reach out to a coach and get some help, right?
Yeah, just to kind of get somebody else's perspective and see the way through it. Absolutely. Yeah. Ask you one other question.
Sure.
Unrelated. Do you always plan your times to eat? Like I heard you when you were talking earlier that you're going to eat after this. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you plan your times to eat as well as your, not just your meal, what you're going to eat, you plan your times to eat?
Well, no, because I'm following my hunger scale. So it's not, you know, a specific time. Now I've done this long enough to where I know that, I mean, because, you know, I may have calls or whatever. Like today I had a bunch of calls until 11. I usually eat somewhere between kind of 11 and 1 usually, but I'm just always listening to my hunger scale. And so I eat my first meal around between like 11 and 12, but it's not like, you know, like well, it's time I'm going no matter whether I'm hungry or not. And then like for tonight, I just knew I was going to have this call. And so I mean, a lot of times I'm usually past negative 2 when I eat because I know I've got other things to do and I know that I'll be okay. I've been practicing that long enough. It wasn't always like that where I was okay with going a little bit past negative 2. But I just know that like I've got other things to do in my life. And so I'll eat when I have time to eat and when I really need to eat. And so it's just very rare now. I haven't even thought about this in a long time, but it's just very rare that I eat before, you know, before I'm at negative 2. It's usually at negative 2. I mean, it just works out that I'm at negative 2 or I'm at negative 3 or 4 just because I got other things to do. And, you know, I eat a lot of the same things over and over again. I have a pretty consistent schedule. So I kind of have an idea of pretty much when I'm going to be ready to eat.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question.
Thanks,
Betsy. All right. All right. Well, this was good. Good. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. See ya. Bye. Okay, Kendra. Y'all raise your hand if you want to get coached. This is your opportunity. Let's see, let me unmute her. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hold on. There we go. Okay.
You coming on?
Can you see me yet?
Not yet.
Oh, I think I have my thing over.
Oh, there we go. All right.
So you might have to get lost. Hold on.
Okay.
Come on. Okay. Hi.
Hi. All right. What's up?
If anyone is worried about my shirt being inside out, it's a work shirt and I didn't want like the logo of my company like right here. Today has been a day.
Okay, let's talk about today.
I really want to be coached on what happened today, but it's some family drama that's not mine. And if anyone happens to know me, I would be horrified to talk about it on a call. So I wrote to ask coaches, but if I randomly cry, it might be because I'm emotional.
That's all right. That's
So I have two questions that are related to food. And then if it's not too long, I might ask about a third question that has to do with work.
Okay. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay. So today, in response to the shit day I had, I really wanted to make brownies.
Okay.
Like go face down in brownies, which is a little unusual for me. I'm not typically like a bad day equals face down in food.
Okay. We can do this without you even talking about specifically what happened. So, because I hear all kinds of thoughts about this day that we gotta get out here. Like, it's a shit day. Again, we don't even have to, you know, something happened today.
Yeah.
It's a shit day. I'm feeling something and I'm going to make brownies. So let's go ahead and outline that, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Right.
Okay. What were you feeling that led you to want to make brownies?
Let me get my feeling shirt out.
Okay.
The moral of this story is I didn't make the brownies, but I was curious if putting them on tomorrow's 24-hour plan is okay or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Felt a little fragile today.
Fragile. Okay.
Yeah. And actually a little infuriated at the same time. I wish I could just say what happened, but
infuriated. Well,
yeah.
But again,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because I mean, you know how we say, like, actually Corinne started doing this at a camp a couple of years ago or last year, where she was like, no backstory, you know, we don't need a whole bunch of backstory. It's just we want to know where you are right now. You know, mm-hmm. your head. And so fragile, infuriated. So you didn't make the brownies, but you wanted to make the brownies, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like you stopped right here. And it's basically like it's a shit day. Let's make brownies.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thought. So, okay. So, and so now why, okay, let's go to why didn't you decide to make the brownies?
So maybe this is also an interesting thought to look through with you. Mm-hmm. Because of the thought work, I decided like, I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not like, if I feel, I feel, if I think, I think, but like I can choose to not create chaos in my life because of someone else's choice to do something.
Right.
And then in my head, I was like, well, have you just turned the corner to psychopath and like, you're just not going to respond normally to a situation other people would probably be like curled up in a ball about.
Well, that's because you think that that's the normal response.
Right.
Right? But what if, yeah, I mean, like, what if you could just think something and feel something and then just, like, literally your action line is just to, like, feel my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to cover them up with brownies.
Yeah.
And that
I went for a walk and, like, listened to a podcast and just, like, it was kind of, like, oddly parallel someone else's story on the podcast, but.
That's the way it works, like, you know, kismet or karma, not karma, but, you know, it always works that way, where, like, your mind is open to something, right? You get something out of it. So, yeah, but that's what you did. You decided to feel your feelings, you know, by taking a walk and listening to something and all that kind of stuff, right? So,
yeah.
I mean,
my real thought, like, I know I said, like, it was a shitty day, which is a thought about the day, but, like, to all today, I was thinking, like, this is something that just happened.
Right. So you
and
really,
I can choose to,
I mean, you really,
I can actually choose how I feel about this. Right.
I mean, that's kind of what happened, was that you basically moved into an intentional model. You kind of stopped at the feeling line, right? Where it's like, okay, I feel fragile and infuriated, and maybe I don't have to choose that anymore. Maybe I want to do something different.
Yeah. Right?
And so then you moved into, yeah, I can do whatever you just said. You said, you know, I can choose.
Take a walk, reschedule brownies.
I can do something different. Yeah. And so that's the work, right? That's the work of, I mean, sometimes, you know, I was talking with Melissa about sometimes, you know, you've got to live in that unintentional model, where that unintentional model has to become intentional sometimes, where it's like, you just got to feel infuriated and feel fragile and just live in that for a while.
Right.
But then you're like, okay, I think I want a new intentional model where I feel something different. So where did you move to from infuriated and fragile eventually?
Resilient, I guess, because the situation is something I have already dealt with in my life one time. So I went to, like, I know how to, like, I've already dealt with this. I didn't deal with it the same way, but that's fine. And then I guess I went to the action line of, like, what do I want to do now? And it's to show up and be really supportive and have, you know, my wits about me for my partner, who it's actually
going
to affect more.
I mean, the walk and all of that was part of your actions, right? And then, you know, think about how you want to show up from here on out. And so what was the thought that led you to feel resilient? Let's get specific on a thought.
I've already been through this once. Mm-hmm. And here I sit.
Like, I can do it again.
Yeah.
Like, I survived the first time. I can do this again. Something like that. And
oh my God, this is like such a test of not having a backstory right now.
Like, I don't care.
I want to give you.
I don't care.
Such a sad story.
No, don't want to hear it. Right? Oh, I mean, isn't that interesting how, like, we can do all this work without even knowing? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect anything. And what's so great is that people can, you know, people listening and all of that, they can, like, apply their own circumstance to this. And they're not caught up in your backstory and your, all your facts, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
right.
I thought that the other day about something at work or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's super interesting to just not even get caught up in that. Just not even, those are all just circumstances out in the world. What we're focusing on around here is what we can control in this, you know, what we can control. And we can always, you know, we can control everything from here on down.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to do it this way. So, so yeah, think about how you want to show up. And then the result is that, you know, you do it again.
Right.
I do it again. Right. I proved to myself once again that I can handle this.
Yeah.
I love, someone said the other day at my Toastmasters meeting that I go to, and she said, somebody said, how are you doing or something? And she said, I have 100% survival rate of bad days.
It's true.
So you are building on, you know, you're building on, you're working on that 100% survival rate again today.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, okay. So what questions did you have specifically about the food and stuff?
Well, I think you answered the brownie one in passing. Like, yeah, it's okay to not have it on my weekly plan, but then put it on tomorrow's plan and choose tomorrow if I'm going to do it or not.
You just want to, you
still really want them.
Yeah. I mean, if you can absolutely eat brownies whenever you want, right? You just want your reason for it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the key, is to like your reason and not just eat them just because I did do good and like planned it for tomorrow.
Right.
But you know, but do you really like ask yourself, why do I want to eat these? And just like your reason for it.
Yeah. Okay. The next question, which I think you answered this kind of in the last.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Persons. I keep finding myself at like -4 to -6 when I go to eat, because I guess I'm not like completely like clued into my hunger until I'm like, oh my God, like I'm so hungry. And then, so my question was, is this like considered still staying within the hunger scale, like to check that box thing or not? I mean, to me, it kind of isn't, but also it kind of is. Like, I kind of see myself going to like a +3.
Yeah.
Easier if I'm that
hungry. So you really want to, you know, again, kind of, you want to like be okay with it, whatever your reason is, right? Like I'm good with saying, okay, I followed my hunger scale. Even if I go a little bit past -2, because that's not a big deal to me.
Right.
Like it's not going to result in me overeating most of the time. Now, some of the time it still happens. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. And then I would, you know, if I go to +3, then like, I'll say, no, I didn't follow my hunger scale on my plan. But yeah, I mean, if it's just not a big deal to you to, like I was talking about where, you know, I've just got other things to do. I don't have time to eat yet. And I'm not making it a big deal. And so then I'll just eat when I'm done with this call, for example, and I might be at -3 or -4, and that's not a big deal. But Brand talked about this the other day, and this is, you know, so important for all the new members, right? That the goal is not necessarily to have this perfectly filled out, you know, plan every day of you following the four basics, right? Because it's all about what you make checking that box off mean. And if you don't check that box off, what does that mean? Right. Let me just ask you that. What does that mean if you don't check the hunger scale box off today?
Well, I can tell you what it means today and the thing that I've like practiced.
Okay.
It's just data.
Right.
But I can tell you when I first started listening to Corinne, it was like,
right.
You know, you better scan in your sheets and tell everyone that you failed.
big old fail, you know, stamp.
Just
right?
Throw them away. Yes. I actually did that a couple of times. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. So that's really like the lesson to learn here is that, you know, the end goal is not to have this perfect habit tracker, this perfect plan filled out. It's okay. This is the data. Let me get curious about it. Am I okay with going to a -4, -6, or do I need to, and this was what I was going to suggest, is like, do I need to kind of really start getting curious about the time, you know, the time right before I get to way hungry?
Right.
You know, do I really need to start maybe setting some alarms on my phone and saying, okay, you know, Kendra, let me assess my, you know, talking to yourself, let me assess my hunger.
Okay.
See where I am. You know, it's just, you're probably just not even noticing it. I mean, because you might probably just have a habit of waiting until you're overly hungry to eat. And so
yeah,
you're out of the habit of listening to your body before that. That's all it is.
I had a real big diet rule realization that like the intermittent fasting was like some kind of bullshit thing that I thought was good for me, but it was really just a reason to just barely ever eat. So
losing
that, because if I don't eat in the morning before my coffee, like my black coffee, I can go till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and not eat. Mm-hmm. And I realized that maybe that's not the best thing for me.
I mean, it could be, it might not, right? But you've got to play with it and test it out and see. For some people, that might work great because they're a teacher or something and they don't even want to mess with eating during the day or something like that, right? And so you just have to play with it and decide that there, I mean, the only, you know, there aren't any rules. Like the only thing that is the rule is what works for you. And you want, again, like your reason for it. And not just because everybody's doing intermittent fasting now. It's, no, this is what feels best in my body. This is what works for me and my life. And those kinds of thoughts about it. Okay? All right. Good questions. Good call.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye. All right. We got Pam, Mary, Cindy, and Joanne. Pam. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you and see you. Yes.
Hello there.
Hi.
So, this is my first time coaching with you guys, although I was in the self-coaching scholars for a couple months, and so was coached with them.
Okay.
So I'm a little familiar with this. So I am sort of coming off, I joined the tribe in beginning of January, and I am coming off quite a bit of, like a year and a half of doing quite a lot of intermittent fasting and trying to just, and I wasn't getting anywhere. I didn't lose any weight in 2019, but I lost about 20 pounds in 2018, which I'm thrilled about. I'm actually now like the smallest I've ever been, wearing a size 4, but I'm at kind of like a lifetime, I won't say lifetime, but in terms of my weight, I'm at 150, and I haven't been below 150 in like 30 years. And I'm 54. And I want to see what I look like. If I can lose another 10 or 15 pounds, because that's still like a, you know, very healthy weight. So I feel like, okay, I'm going to try this new way of thinking, of being in touch with your feelings. And such a concept. I'm really struggling, though, after all this like time of completely ignoring my hunger and completely just blowing through any sense of full, because that's kind of like, I was approaching this kind of one meal a day intermittent fasting for the most part. And obviously I've only been doing this a couple weeks now, and I know it's a practice, but, and I'm trying this week with the, eat half and then wait a little while and then eat another little bit. But I'm for the most part vegetarian. I eat very little anything. So I'm struggling with the idea of like, how is it possible that eating too much salad is, you know, I also have years and years and years of Weight Watchers in my head is like, it's free food, you know, it's free, no point
so
food.
Answer your own question in terms of like, okay, how is it that you can't eat as much salad as you want?
Right.
I mean, what's your answer to that?
My answer to that is, well, I clearly am not getting anywhere, so I need to change things up.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's salad or, you know, or pizza. Your body only needs a certain amount of fuel,
mm-hmm.
right?
But isn't it more also about, like, planning, doing what I'm making promises to myself and keeping them also, is that's largely the point too, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's like skill number one that we teach in, you know, in PNP in terms of the realistic plan, where we're not talking about, you know, leveling up your food or anything yet. We are just talking about making a plan, which is a commitment to yourself, right? It's just right. Making that realistic plan, that commitment to yourself, and following through on a commitment to yourself. That's all the realistic plan is. And it doesn't necessarily result in weight loss at first, because you may be eating in a way that you are maybe still gaining, or you're staying the same. And over time, once you've gotten that commitment muscle strengthened, then you can work on, you know, leveling up your food and working on the hunger scale and all of that. I mean, you don't even have to, you know, work on the hunger scale yet. It's just, I am going to commit to eating only the foods that are on this plan. I mean, and at first you can say as much as you want, if that's where you need to start. And then over time, it's like, okay, I'm going to start listening to my body and see when I might want to stop and see what my hunger and satisfaction signals are, and really take that slow, and then maybe level up on some food choices, maybe not. Because, and then you keep data on whether you're losing weight or not. And I always say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you don't need to level up and you're still losing weight, you just keep going like you are, right? It's that process. It can be that process. And I think that's the best way to do it, is to really meet yourself where you are and then move forward slowly from there.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting feeling, because I've routinely ignored hunger.
Yeah.
You know, for such a long time, and I'm not scared about hunger. I'm not, you know, it doesn't make me need to eat, you know, but I also completely ignore being full and eat when I'm not hungry, or, have. And so I think that's where I need to really focus, is on that plus two and only eating when I have real hunger.
Yeah. And I think for you, it's just recognizing, I mean, you're doing something new, right? You're doing something very different than you've done in the past. So give yourself some grace, right? Give yourself some credit for committing to this and doing something new, but then also recognizing that, yeah, I'm doing something new. So all kinds of stuff is going to come up, right? All kinds of, you know, it's going to feel hard sometimes. It's going to feel, you know, it's just, I'm going to feel all the feels, and it's all okay. And you know, it's just, but I'm not going to quit. I'm just going to keep going. And that, I mean, and it's going to involve making some mistakes. It's just a process of trial and error and all that. And just all of that is totally normal and totally okay. And there's nothing has gone wrong here.
Yeah. No, I know nothing's going wrong. It's just getting over the old diet rules.
Yeah, you know, and it's
maybe someday I'll actually try and eat breakfast, and we'll see what that feels like.
Yeah, and it's like when you've been doing something different for so long, and you're like, I could just try this. I could just try this for a day or a week and see what happens.
Yeah.
Then you really just want to think about coming from this, you know, curiosity place, right? From this being a scientist kind of place, a scientist of your body, a scientist of your mind, where it's just, I'm just seeing what happens. This can be fun even, right?
Yeah.
About a kid doing science experiments, you know, it can just be like, okay, I'm just trying things out, seeing what happens. But that comes from a place of curiosity. It comes from a place of patience. You know, it comes from a place of compassion for yourself, that you're working on doing what's best for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've joined the last 20, you know, Facebook group, and I'm in the exercisers group, but, you know, like all the people that are kind of in the same spot as me, like, and it's really neat to find a community. For so long, I've not talked to anybody at all about, because, you know, when you, first rule of the fasting club, if you heard this expression, the first rule of the fasting club is don't talk about fasting club. You don't talk about it because people think you're nuts.
Yeah, but so now it's been kind of a like a lonely process for a while, right? Kind of a solitary.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a doctor, and like all of a sudden intermittent fasting has become this like big thing that, because there was this big article in the New England Journal of Medicine, one of the biggest journals in all of medicine last just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So everybody's talking about it now, and I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to ratchet that back now. So anyway, well, thank you for your, I don't know, today is a weird day because we have monthly, I have a faculty meeting and we always have lunch catered in, and I know what it's going to be. And so today I actually planned, I'm going to have one piece of pizza and a piece of cake and salad. And that's what I did. And I still ate too much. I went to a +3, but because like, it's pretty hard to stop eating cake. I don't know. Is that possible?
Yes, that's possible.
Is it possible to stop eating cake?
With practice, with time, right? With, right. From a place of curiosity and compassion and all of that. Yes, it's possible. Yeah. But anyway, again, it doesn't have to be, you know.
We have to be all this drama and hiding in secret behind the office door. Like, you know, so anyway.
And the only way to prove that to yourself is to do this kind of stuff, right? You are doing it right in terms of like you're putting yourself in these situations that maybe in the past you would have been afraid of, or you would have just been nervous about, all that kind of stuff. And you're putting yourself in these situations, you're practicing, and you're making mistakes and learning from them. And that is all we ask, is that you just continue moving forward imperfectly, right? And just figuring it out as you go. Yeah.
Cool.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. All right. See ya.
You too.
Bye. Okay. All right. We got Mary, Cindy, and Crystal popped on. So time always goes by so fast, y'all. So crazy. I say that every call. All right. Mary.
Hello. Can you see me?
I can't see you. Let me see.
Let's check.
Okay.
Okay. Now can you
there
see
you
me?
Are. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. This is my first time getting coaching.
Great. So, are you new or have you been around for a while?
I joined at the end of December. So,
okay, pretty, so you're pretty new. Okay.
Yeah. So my issue is I had back surgery a week ago today, and my mother came up from Florida to stay with me for a week and help me out. And it was a very good visit. She left today. I brought her back to the airport and she went back home. And when I was growing up, my mom and I didn't have a very easy relationship. One, because we're both very much alike, and she had her own anxiety issues that she was not dealing with, and she kind of took it out on me. And so it was a very contentious at points of our life. But now that we're both adults and we have, you know, medication on board for both of us, where we have a really good, close relationship now. It was a very good visit. No fights. Everything went well. I was in a lot of pain because of the surgery.
Right.
My thing is that I've noticed that with food, whenever I have either a difficult situation or an emotional transition of some kind, I have the big urge to eat something. Yes. It's almost like I'm grounding myself from an emotion. And I know that about myself enough that when I was making my plan early this morning, I planned that I, after I dropped her off at the airport in the morning, that I would go get a donut from a particular bakery that makes them homemade on the premises. It's a local chain. So I planned that for myself. And I went and I dropped her off, went and got the donut. I ate, I actually got two because I couldn't decide on a flavor, but I ate half of each one. So that adds up to one donut. And that was that. And I thought that was the end of it. I got home, spent the rest of the day mostly lying on the couch because I'm still really on top of the surgery. I have a chest cold, so I'm getting over that. But late in the afternoon, I was feeling really still antsy and restless, and like I was relieved to be by myself again, but I also missed my mother. And I found myself baking cornbread. Like I made a pan of cornbread. And I followed my plan today in the fact that I ate 2 to 2 and I honored my hunger and all of that. But my question is, I don't quite know how to changed my, I wrote about it a little bit, I did some journaling of how to change the impulse or the thoughts about, like, if I have a difficult emotion or like I have to almost like give myself a medication of.
Right. You said grounding, right? Like it grounds yeah. you. And a like lot of my people, emotion, go ahead.
I had untreated bipolar disorder for the first 35 years of my life. And my theory is that sugar was replacing the serotonin that my brain was lacking. Like I would unconsciously taking in something that would give me a boost because I wasn't making enough serotonin in my brain. And even though now I'm stable and, yeah. and being treated, that's still a habit that was there for the first, you know, 40 yeah. some odd years of my life. So I want to kind of figure out how to change this.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said habit, right? Because that's all it is, right? You have a habit that when you feel something that's, you know, kind of icky, either whether it's, you know, feeling sad that your mom is gone or.
And it's even happiness too.
Yeah.
Like when I've had something happy happen, it's like, all right, let's get something to eat.
Yes. I mean, it can be any emotion, anything, any, you know, quote unquote, positive or negative emotion that we just associate with food. Then it, you know, we associate with eating, then mm-hmm. it's just a habit that we've developed, whether it's, you know, an emotion that we feel and like we want to, you said, you know, you've got these thoughts, right, about what food does for you, that it grounds me. A lot of people say, you know, it gives me comfort. We also use the word buffer, like it buffers you from your emotions. You know, food can be a buffer, just like drugs or anything else can be, alcohol or anything. So it's totally, like what is happening is just totally how the brain works. I mean, you have basically it is, you know, the circumstances that you're having some sort of feeling. So you're feeling, feeling sad, right?
Yeah.
That your mom has gone. Then, you're thinking something like, I need relief. I need comfort. I need something.
There's deep stuff around there around my mother because, you know, when I was growing up and I was a fat kid, she was like the food police in our family, and she had her own anxiety about food, and it's this complicated. So there's all these feelings all tangled up in my head about like, oh, I'm alone. Now I can eat and mom right. won't be there to criticize me anymore, even right. though she doesn't do that anymore.
Right.
But the tapes from when I was a kid are still there.
It's very, you know, and things that have happened to us as children. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just things that we have continued to think for a long time. It's habits that we've continued to reinforce for a long time. In No BS, I don't know if you've gotten to the phase 3 yet. That's all about what we're talking about here, overeating, and basically why we overeat, why we respond to our urges with food. And you have built these neural pathways in your brain. Corinne uses the example of like a marble that's going through sand, you know, like it's developed this path. And so it's very well worn. And so you've just been practicing it for a long time. It's a, you know, ingrained habit now, but that doesn't mean that you can't change it. Right. Mm-hmm. And right. so the simple answer, well, let's just do this first. So you think something like, I need relief. You have an urge to mm-hmm. eat
yep.
and then you eat. Mm-hmm. And so this is the cycle, you know, that happens over and over and over again. Like, mm-hmm. I need relief. I feel the urge coming on, and I respond to the urge with food. And then just, it repeats itself over and over again. So, and that's what's all explained in phase 3 of No BS. And so, the simple answer is that you practice doing something different. You know, you practice feeling sad, and just feeling sad, right?
The hard thing right now is that normally I'm a runner, but I haven't been able to run since June because mm-hmm. of my back. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that was a substitute for food for me.
Right.
For relief and joy and happiness. And now I am having to feel exhausted and unproductive and like, oh, I could be writing fiction right now. I could be doing this, but I have no energy to do anything other than lie on the couch and watch bad, cheesy movies.
And you're healing, right? But you want to, you know, you want to practice getting to where you can just sit and feel anything and you don't have to be doing anything else, right? Because other things, running or writing or, I mean, anything can be a, you know, can be a buffer, right? Can be a way for you to cope with your emotions and not just feel them. But we want to start working on just feeling stuff, just sitting and feeling sad that you miss your mom. Maybe cry, maybe, you know, just think about her and things like that, right? But we have, so many of us in our society, we've gotten used to, oh, when we feel something, we need to not feel it. We need to cover it up with, you know, with food. And so, yeah, so it's just a matter of, I mean, this time sounds like an amazing opportunity for you to practice just being with your feelings and not covering them up with food or anything else. Mm-hmm. But again, that phase three talks all about like how the brain works, why we have these urges and why we've given into them for so long. And it really just kind of, I think that helps because it just helps you to remind yourself that it's all totally normal. You know, it's not something that makes you broken or different from anyone else. We're all, the brain is working exactly the way it's supposed to. But we have the power, it's called neuroplasticity, to change the neural pathways in our brain and to do something new. But it just takes practice, right? Just building that new habit. So it's the work. It's all the work that we're talking about that we're all doing, where having these urges and then deciding to just allow them, right? You know, because you can still think, your brain's still going to throw up, oh, we need relief. We need, you know, we need our fix right now. And you've got to, at that point, remind yourself that, no, I'm doing something different. I'm going to allow this urge. I'm going to just let it be there and do something different and not eat instead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So definitely dig into that phase three of no BS.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm still in phase two. I'll have to check where I'm at.
Yeah. Or just whenever you get to it, you know, cause phase two is important too, cause that's all about the model.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to get that in too, but yeah, you just be sure and keep going into phase three.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Take care. See ya. Bye. All right, we got Cindy and Katie. And then I'll probably answer some questions.
What do I need to do to get on here?
I can hear you, and I'll ask you to start your video.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi. Hey.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good to see you.
Good. Yeah. So, here's, there's a couple things. So I'll just ask you to hone it in for me. So, coming on my year anniversary with, following Corinne. I joined in April, but I started following her in January and I've done really well. I've lost over 60 pounds. And when I look at my data, the thing that really strikes me is I've had like, I guess about four periods where I kind of go off the rails for about a week to 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing that they're coming a little more frequently and they're lasting a little longer. And I don't mean like just blowing out binges. What the real behavioral concern of mine is there's sort of this collapse of self-care. So I start to really just completely neglect doing any of the four basics, and then other stuff starts to snowball, getting out of bed, you know, brushing my teeth, washing my face, kind of all of that, not as bad as when I was depressed. So I just noticed this past week, I've been doing this app called Habit Share, which a lot of the people in my Marco Polo are doing. And in addition to tracking my P&P stuff, I've been putting a lot of self-care habits on there. And so when I went back to look at my data over the last 10 days, I was like, holy shit, I have not only not been doing the four basics, but I'm not taking my meds on some days. And I mean, just it was all sort of this self-collapse. And I would say probably more than the weight loss, what I'm feeling the most accomplished about over this last year is the momentum I've gone around self-care and kind of moving forward in my life. So the question's twofold. If I had to change one thing, it would be, even when I'm overeating or going off plan, not doing that sort of all or nothing thing where it's like, oh, I had sugar one day. You know, it just becomes easier to let it do it the next day and the next day, at least for me behaviorally. It just, it's like it opens.
Well, it becomes easier because you think a thought, right? You think about it. I was going to ask, like, kind of what is the, if you can pinpoint, like, what is the first thing that happens that leads to all this other stuff? Is it just going off plan, like one day or one meal or?
I think for me, the foundation of my success in the beginning, and some of it was just out of fear, but I almost never didn't write my plan down. Even if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I hadn't eaten, I would like write it down right before the first bite, or I would put it in my calendar instead of in my planner. So I did that almost out of superstition. And then I was pretty religious about following a no flour, no sugar protocol. But also, besides that, and I guess this is my second question, is really like, how do you, when I experience really significant resistance about doing anything, like kind of opening the door for that again. So like in all of this, the antecedents to going off plan are often not listening to podcasts, dropping off my participation on Facebook, which in moderation is more supportive than a distraction. And then the two areas that I seem to be the most resistant about is writing those damn recovery sheets. When I do, yeah, I mean, I can't even tell you how resistant I am to that. And where I know that would be really helpful. And then the second one I would say is getting into the habit of regular modeling. Okay. I do it for a few days and I get off track. So I guess the question for me is not about how to shorten them, but it's about resistance. Like that, I guess, you know, like finding the willingness again to move forward. Because I know it can just be momentum on one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, so is the, you know, kind of one of the first things that happens is you don't make a plan or you just don't follow your plan?
In terms of P&P, yes. But the antecedent to that is probably not getting enough sleep. Okay. or letting my time get away from me, like working too much, or right now I'm in the middle of a move, so my routine's really thrown off. So it seems to be the time management piece.
Okay, let's say this is kind of vague. This is not a great example of a circumstance, but let's say you mismanaged your time, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What and that's, you know, when that starts happening, because it sounds like you kind of recognize this pattern, when that starts happening, so what do you make some mismanaged time mean about you?
My thought is, there's two thoughts. In terms of personalizing it, is I can't do anything about it, or this is, you know, so typical for me. But I even think more than that, I don't know what the thought is, but the feeling is, okay, I don't have any control over this. So maybe that's the thought, like feeling kind of helpless or like I'm, yeah.
I don't have any control.
Yeah. Or I don't know how to do this. Right. Yeah. Something like that.
Right. I mean, you know, it's probably a bunch of those kind of similar thoughts. Yeah. Right. I don't know how to do this. Right. And so that's what your brain is throwing up. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, just throwing up all this. And so you feel helpless, you feel out of control.
And exhausted often too, yeah, right?
Tired. Because we could also put, you know, just maybe a series of a few days of not getting enough, you know, enough sleep or something like that, mm-hmm, right? And then, so you're feeling helpless and out of control. So of course you're, you know, you're not, you're going to stop making a plan, or you're going to stop following the plan. You're certainly not going to want to do one of those discovery worksheets. You know, you know, we'll kind of label it all as self-care.
Yeah.
But, you know, self-care goes out the window.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, because the action, even before the dropping of the self-care, is that I sort of retreat into, like, I'll just, you know, like hiding in my bed, or instead of like doing more proactiveness to manage the time, I go in the opposite direction and just isolate or whatever. So it's kind of escaping from
because overwhelm. You're thinking, I don't have any control and I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right. So you're not looking for solutions. You're not looking for a way to get out of that, because your brain is just telling the story of, oh, we are not in control here and we don't know what to do about it.
You just nailed it on the head. I'm not looking for solutions at that point.
Right. Because you would have to change your thought to look for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but your brain is just like, I mean, especially this, I don't know how to do this. You know, that is the opposite thought, you know, to have, to look for solutions. Right. I mean, you know, that's never going to lead to getting, you know, to looking for solutions. If you just keep thinking, I don't know how to do this. Right.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was a coaching call or you were doing like some sort of call around time management. It was a couple months ago, but I remember you saying that part of your practice is timing. How long does it take to brush my teeth? So you had better time management awareness. And I'm not there, but boy, when I heard you say that, I was like, yeah, I don't know how much time things take, you know, and I have a really distorted sense of that takes too long, or this doesn't, right, or how much
that's
time.
What our brain does. There's a name for that, like some kind of there's like a name for that with our brain, where like when we think about how long things take, I think I was probably talking about brushing my teeth, because sometimes I'm like resistant. I don't feel like brushing my teeth.
Yeah.
And it's like, because our brain just automatically goes, oh, that's going to take forever. You know, it takes too long. We're so tired. Let's just go to bed. And so your brain doesn't get specific about it. It doesn't think in specifics, because it's kind of lazy that way. And so when you force it to, like, when I literally time myself and it's, you know, 45 seconds or whatever it is, or, you know, or like my whole evening routine was like literally 2.5 minutes or something. My brain was forced to say, well, okay, you know, if it's only 2.5 minutes, then yeah, we could probably do that. And so you've got to get specific, right? You can't just let your brain run wild and expect it to just want to brush your teeth. You know, you've got to take the reins. You've got to take control back and say, no, this is important to me, and it's only 2.5 minutes, and let's just do that. It's letting the, you know, the chitter chatter be there and then doing it anyway. And so, you know, it doesn't feel great, especially at first when you're practicing it, but it's, you know, it's that daily practice, that daily repeat of, I mean, just like with weight loss, right? Like, you're doing stuff you don't want to do all the time, but mm-hmm. then you're getting the results you want. Like, I'm getting the results of, you know, healthy teeth and no cavities, and you know, no, my face isn't breaking out because I'm washing my face or whatever it is, right? And so it's just it's going back to really kind of having a compelling reason for doing this self-care stuff, just like you do with weight loss, right? It's this mm-hmm. is important to me. I want to keep my teeth for as long as I can. whatever it is. And so, but again, if you're coming from this place, from this helplessness and out of control and not thinking that you're, that you have the ability to take the reins, then yeah, all that's going to fall, you know, that's the easy stuff that falls off, you know, easily.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead, Betsy. I shouldn't have interrupted you.
Go ahead.
No, so in terms of this model, mismanagement of time, and then the result is wasting of time or whatever the, you know,
the result always goes back up and proves the thought true.
Okay.
And so the result is you just continue to like not have control.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, not looking for solutions. Because you don't know how.
I didn't realize, thank you, that the result always proves the thought.
Yes. It's not necessarily like a word for word, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The same, but it's got to prove the thought true, because you're thinking something, you're feeling something, and then you're, you know, you're acting in a way that creates the result of what, you know, because it's the cycle, right? It's a cycle. So this result always has to come back up and say, oh, yep, I don't have any control. Don't know what to do. So yeah, it's a cycle that really, Corinne has actually taught this in the past, where the model is actually a circular, mm-hmm. you know, cycle. So you may want to go back and revisit that. I think she actually teaches that maybe now in the model lesson for No BS. I need to go back and check that. But it's really interesting to see it in a circular way.
Yeah.
Because,
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm really bad about interrupting.
No, go ahead.
So in the intentional model, not the ideal, but the model that's going to break it in the middle, that's going to melt the resistance, what would be a powerful model to help melt resistance or soften resistance so that some sort of action.
So if you think about you haven't gotten, you know, your sleep in a little while, in a few days, you haven't managed your time very well. It's a thought like, I mean, Corinne uses it all the time. Like, I can figure this out. You know, I'm working on figuring this out. It's something like that where it's just, it just is open to, you're open to solutions, right? You're open to, it's not that it's all going to be figured out perfectly at some point in time, but you know, I can do this. I can figure this out. If you think about your weight loss, right? What did you think about, you know, when you maybe went off plan for a day or two and then you got right back at it? You know, it's some sort of thought like that, where it's just, okay, but it's got to come from a place of, you know, I can figure this out, right? You got to be thinking that, in terms of, you got to be open to not judging yourself and not, not shutting yourself off from possibility. Does that make sense?
So I guess for me, it would be one of two things. It's easy for me to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy for me to get back on track, or I can figure out how to get back on track today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feeling is optimism. The action is, what's the one thing I can do to,
right. And,
you know,
that might be your thought too, is like, I'm just one choice away.
No, that's a really good one.
Yeah, I'm just one choice away. Right. And so that can be whether that be with your food, whether that be with your time, whether that be with your sleep. You just pick one, because once you make some progress in one area, then your brain kind of opens wide open. Is like, oh, if we can work on that, then we can probably work on this other stuff too. So it's just picking one thing and trying something, right? And just being open. And then that just allows you to be open about everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the action line in the very beginning is doing the easiest thing.
Yes.
That would represent self-care.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like today I got on and did true confessions with one my accountability groups. And I said, no matter what, I'm writing my plan down today and reporting it at the end of the day. So,
and that's, I mean, and this kind of reminds me, because you mentioned depression, right? This reminds me about when Corinne talks about depression and like her depression protocol, where she really focuses on, you know, I'm not saying that the depression is happening here, but it's, you know, it's, we can learn from that where it's like, yeah, what's the easiest thing I can do today? We can all use those skills for anything when we get, you know, when we get off track, like what, I mean, and so she's just like, okay, I'm going to get out of bed, you know, and take a shower, right? It's like, what is the easiest thing where I can just get a little win under my belt? Right. And that's an amazing question to ask yourself at any time. Just, okay, how can I just get a little win in as easy as possible today? And it just never fails that that just flips a switch in your brain. And it's like, okay, if I can get this one little win, maybe I can get a few more.
I love that term, yeah. Little win.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it's even, yeah, it's different than action. It's like, yeah. Oh, thank you, Betsy. This was really, really helpful. I appreciate it so much.
Good call. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, Katie.
Hello.
Hi. You're sideways. There you are.
Okay. I have a couple things. The first is, it's just kind of some thought work. I have a 14 and 15 year old who we've homeschooled all along, and we have a group that we've been part of for 10 years now. And I've caught wind recently that we were kind of the butt of somebody's gossip. Like they were doing it behind our back. And these are people I really thought that we could trust. And so I had a conversation with the woman about it. She was kind of somewhat apologetic and somewhat like, well, you know, too bad kind of thing. Or, you know, we were just talking about the situation and blah, blah, blah. And since then, and these are people we spent quite a bit of time with. And since then, I'm just catching on to all the other moms and some of the kids talking behind each other's backs a lot. And mm-hmm. I don't know why it's bringing me down so much this week, but it just is. So I just thought I would check in. And
so, okay, hold on just one second. My husband just texted me. He's looking for the car keys. So let me.
Okay.
He's got to get a beer out of the refrigerator in the garage. It's very important.
Priority.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So yeah, I think this is we were talking a minute ago about kind of really getting the circumstance down to like facts, right? And I think that's just when I heard you talk, like, I really think that you're, you know, that you may not have kind of seen what really is happening here. And basically it's just like someone said something, right? And then kind of what you're continuing to see about people just talking and people saying things and just really working on kind of boiling it down to just the facts. So let's talk about kind of the original thing that happened. I mean, what is a fact that you can give me with that, with what happened there in terms of maybe a direct quote that someone said, or, you know, something you can prove in court, something that is totally factual and neutral?
My daughter is having, let's see. My daughter's having a little relationship with a boy from our group and people have things to say about it.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So daughter is in relationship, right? and people say things. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty, you know, factual, right? So mm-hmm. what did you, and then, I mean, and then, but you can also use this, you know, with what you're talking about now, where it's like, people are saying things, mm-hmm. right? And, but behind their own back is more of a thought, right? I think that's
yeah,
got
yeah, yeah.
emotion kind of attached to it. Even though, mm-hmm. you could argue that a fact would be that, okay, they're saying something, and the other person doesn't know that they're saying something, right? That's factual. And so it's just a good kind of practice to just really think about, okay, what are the facts here? And then what am I making them mean? Right. Mm-hmm. And for you, like, what are you making this mean now that, you know, that this has happened and now other people are saying things?
It just felt really invasive. And like, it's none of your business, back off.
Okay.
That kind of
okay, so feeling. It's none of their business. But again, that's your thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's your thought about, that's your opinion about people just saying things, doing things. Because people can say and do whatever they want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's deciding kind of, okay, people can, you know, it's free country, right? We can all say and do what we want. So how, right now you're thinking it's none of their business. And really what you're thinking is they shouldn't be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be saying it, and it really isn't their place to get into it.
Mm-hmm. And so are you feeling when you think it's none of their business, they shouldn't be doing that? Do you feel invasive or do you feel?
Invasive, judged.
Judged, okay. So when you feel invasive, when you feel judged, what are you doing or not doing here?
Withdrawing and also fighting back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to write up here, they shouldn't be doing this. Okay. But I want to dig a little bit deeper with the thought, because like I was saying earlier, you know, these thoughts are about them,
mm-hmm.
right? About kind of what they're doing, you know, what they should or shouldn't do. It's none of their business. We're talking about kind of turning the mirror on to ourselves. What do you make it mean about you? Because ultimately, your model should be as much about you as possible, because that's the only thing we can control anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't control what other people say or do. That can't be in your result line that, you know, that people quit talking.
Right.
We'll stop talking. So what do you make all of this mean about you?
That I'm not handling things right, or...
That like you're not doing something right, like with your kids and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So I'm not handling this as a parent.
Right.
Yeah. And so that really goes along with this judged feeling, mm-hmm. right? And so then when you think I'm not handling this right, you feel, you know, that, you know, people are kind of getting into your business. That's kind of what invasive is. You feel judged. So then you withdraw, you're fight back. You're really proving your thought true by, you know, not handling things right. Does that make sense? Where it's like, okay, if I keep thinking I'm not handling this right, I'm just going to keep not handling it right. Like, I'm going to do things that maybe I don't usually do, which is withdraw and fight back. You know, so like you're proving your thought true. Like, okay, I'm not being a, you know, I'm not doing this right. I'm not, maybe you're thinking I'm not, you know, I'm not being a good parent, or I'm not doing what I need to be doing, or I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then these actions prove that thought true. Yeah. Does that make sense? So I'm not, so your result is I don't handle it because you're thinking I can't handle it. So that's kind of the cycle that's going on now, where you're just questioning, like, you know, I'm not handling it. What's going on here? I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm doing things right. And then that just leads you to go through this cycle. Does that make sense?
The
model works. And so this is kind of how you're handling it now, right? In terms of how you're thinking and stuff.
Yeah. And just protective and trying not. Just to maybe not let anybody in because I don't trust.
Right. Because you're feeling, you know, you're feeling judged, right? You don't want to be judged anymore. You're questioning, you know, what you're doing in terms of your parenting and things like that. Right. And so, yeah, you are going to want to protect yourself. You're going to want to withdraw, or you're going to want to, you know, protect in terms of fighting back.
Right.
And so it's just recognizing where you are. This is where you are now. Right. You want to just decide, is okay, is this how I want to show up, or do I want to show up in some kind of different way?
I want to show up in a different way, but struggling to figure out how I protect my family without, I don't know. I'm just kind of stuck of where I go from here.
So, because again, like I said, it's not a matter of this changing, right? It's not a matter of people not talking anymore or not saying things. And it's just, this is what you can change in terms of how you show up, right? So maybe let's start with, the actions. Like, what do you want, instead of withdrawing and fighting back, what do you want to do? Because we can start anywhere in the model in terms of coming up with a new one. So what do you want to do instead of withdraw and fight back? Or do you want to, keep doing one or both of those?
No, I mean, I know it definitely doesn't feel good in the place I'm in, but I guess I want to feel clear about it and just not so angry and upset.
Yeah. And that's that, you know, you can also start in the feeling line, right? About how you want to feel about it in terms of, instead of judged, instead of, you know, in, it feels invasive, then you just want to clear. So clear about what?
Just not so triggered and more open-hearted. Like, I just know right now I'm seeing it through my lens and I'm not seeing things objectively.
Right. And you're seeing it through your thoughts, right? You're seeing it through, I'm not handling this. I must not be handling this right. Or, you know, and they shouldn't be saying that and all that kind of stuff. And so if you're coming from a clear, open-hearted place, how could you think about it instead? Just people saying things, doing things.
Yeah. I mean, I know essentially people are going to do that.
But it's interesting. It's interesting. Like when you start to do this work where, when you think, okay, they don't have to stop, right?
Well, they don't, except for when it's somebody that you want to be able to trust. How do you do that when they are talking behind your back and being judgmental? Or is that, you know what I mean? Like, oh, these are people that are very close to me. These aren't just strangers on the street. Yeah. And I think that's why it was so hurtful.
But I mean, you get to choose, right? You get to choose how you know, and this is a time where you can really kind of think about their model. Like, where could they be coming from to do these, to say these things and to do these things? Why might they be doing this?
Just maybe seeing the situation. It's kind of been an on and off thing, and it's probably never really going to go anywhere, which at 15, I'm totally cool with. But kind of seeing that it's not going to go anywhere, so what's the point? Kind of thing. Or why doesn't she just end it, because it's never going to go anywhere?
That's like that. That may be kind of what they're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just think that kind of practice of just, you know, getting out of your head, right? And mm-hmm. just thinking, like, kind of putting yourself in their shoes and thinking, okay, why would they be talking about this? Why would they be, do they have some sort of, you know, what might they be thinking? Just to stay curious about that. You don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, you don't ever know for sure, right? Because you can't read anybody else's mind.
Right.
But you just, you know, kind of staying open about that. And then that can kind of help you maybe fill in a thought of, you know, they're just talking because that's what they do, or mm-hmm. something like that, right? Or maybe they feel insecure about what's going on with their lives, and so they just like to talk about us, or mm-hmm. It's just kind of being curious about that so that you can come from a place of being, you know, just understanding, open-hearted, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of thought do you think you might want to start practicing? It's not personal. Okay. And this could be something where, like a kind of a laddering thought, we call it, where it's like, I'm working on believing it's not personal,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, where, that's more, you know, accurate.
It's you may not be there yet, right? And mm-hmm. so you're just working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so when you're thinking I'm working on believing it's not personal, and you feel clear, open-hearted, what are you doing down here? As opposed to withdrawing and fighting back?
Just kind of being non-reactive.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of non-reactive, just kind of letting them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because again, we know that people are going to do whatever they want anyway. So thinking that we can control them by fighting back, or, you know, is kind of fruitless.
So. Well, is it, I guess, maybe it's to get to an open-hearted place, but maybe still be sharing less than we were sharing before. Yeah, is that still reactive, or is that, I mean,
you just, again, you want to like your reason for it, right? You want to like mm-hmm. your reason for, okay, maybe I'm not going to share as much information with them, but why, right? You want to ask yourself why and say, okay, is it because I just want to, you know, you just want to like your reason, right? I want to mm-hmm. just keep our stuff to ourselves right now. And, yeah. But again, it's not from a place of, okay, if I don't tell them stuff, then they'll quit talking,
right?
It's not because, again, we know that no one else can be in this result line except for you. So mm-hmm. you can't ever have the result of they quit talking, right? Or they quit, you know, people quit talking because we can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of getting curious and saying, okay, I maybe won't tell them anything, but that's for me, right? That's something that you do for you, not change them and their behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the result is you just, you know, you practice, you know, believing that it's not personal and not taking things in that way. And just seeing it for what it is, right? Seeing it as just a circumstance, is just people saying, choosing to say things.
Mm-hmm.
But you always get to decide, you know, what you think about your parenting, your choices, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely like some more work to do here, but I think this is a good start in terms of kind of where you can start and how you can kind of just thinking about, okay, how can I be more clear and open-hearted today? Right. And that can kind of help you just asking yourself that question.
Okay.
Every day. And that can kind of help you come up with some new thoughts. Right. And just doing mm-hmm. some daily journaling on it and just, you know, really separating out the facts from your thoughts. That's mm-hmm. a really good practice to do. You know, thinking like, okay, what would it look like for me to be non-reactive, right? Like what, you know, you want to get, specific as you can in the action line.
Yeah.
So, but I think this is definitely kind of just at least opening up your mind to kind of doing something different. And just, it's always a good reminder that, you know, that again, the goal is not to have other people change their behavior, right?
Right.
It's we can only change us. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other questions about that?
No, not about that.
Okay.
My only other question is, like, I've been really, since the new year, sticking to like making sure I have my plan every day, following my plan, the food that's on my plan, but pretty much always I eat past my 2, and it's like scary to stop.
Okay, why is it scary?
It's like you're taking my safety blanket away.
Why is extra food that you don't need your safety blanket?
I guess because it just stops me from having to deal with things. Or feel.
Yeah, it's just something different, right? You're doing something new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doing something new and knowing that it's not going to feel great sometimes can be scary,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's all it is. It's just when you have to stop, you're going to feel all this stuff, right? You're going to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. You're going to feel pissed, maybe. You're going to feel all this stuff, and that's mm-hmm. that's what's scary.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, it's okay. That's, you know, are you in for a little bit of that to get to what you really want?
Yeah,
because it's, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, right? I mean, their day. I mean, I'm 5 years into this, and like today my salad was delicious. I didn't want to stop, and it was a mm-hmm. salad. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I really like how these pants feel today, and that's mm-hmm. more important to me. And I can make this salad, I can recreate this exact salad tomorrow. So
yeah
so it's just, but you've got to do it a few times to you know, and prove to yourself that it's not as scary, right? You've got to let yourself feel this stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, and then your brain is like, oh, okay, we're not actually about to die. because that's what your brain thinks, right?
Yeah.
Totally normal. All this is totally normal. Your brain, you know, you're doing something different and your brain thinks that you're, you know, it feels very threatened.
Yeah.
And so you've just got to prove to it that, okay, I'll be okay. It's not going to feel great, but I'm doing this for these reasons. And that's when your compelling reasons come into play.
Okay.
Okay.
So all right. All thank you.
The way it's supposed to. Good questions. All right. I'll talk to you all later.
Right. All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
All right, y'all, I'm going to answer these last few questions and then we got to get out of here. When I want to finish my meal, even when it's plus two, what is the best worksheet to use? And she was just talking about that. So the best worksheet to use, there may be one of the Urge worksheets. Yeah, I think the before the urge worksheet, because that's basically what's going on is that you're having an urge, right? You're having an urge to keep eating. And so when you stop at your plus two and you're feeling this urge to keep eating, you want to do the before the urge worksheet. And so it helps you kind of, you know, process the urge. What are you feeling in your body? What are you thinking? And you're probably thinking just something very simple like, I just want to keep going. Or this is what I've always done, like I was just talking about with her, right? So before the urge worksheet. Do you have any recommendations on how to not let daily weighing affect the entire day? It's hard for me to just look at it as a data when I don't like the number that I see. Well, that's your problem, right? Is that you're thinking, I don't like this number. It's your thoughts, right? So here's the thing, Azizi. If you're going to weigh every day, you got to do a hello worksheet every single, hello scale worksheet every single day. So that's what you're in for. If you're choosing to weigh every day, then you got to do a hello scale worksheet every day. That'll help you real quick on your thoughts around the scale and not letting it affect your entire day, because that helps you process the thought you're having now about the scale and the process and the thought that it asks you, do I want to keep thinking this or what do I want to think instead? So that'll be some amazing work for you. Do you have any recommendations on how to stick with it rather than using a quick fix like intermittent fasting or keto? Yeah. You stick with it intermittent fasting. I mean, all these quick fixes, right? The recommendation is called patience. I hate that I don't have a better, sexier answer than that. But all I know is that I think we're here to actually lose weight and keep it off for the rest of our lives. When I lost my weight, I decided this was it. This was the last time. And the keto and intermittent fasting and all these quick fixes, they have a really bad track record on keeping the weight off. So if you're into keeping the weight off, then we're the game for you. We're the place for you, but it's a matter of practicing some patience and saying, okay, I'm willing to let this take a little bit longer if it's going to be for the last time. That's a really good thought. My husband and I just booked an all-inclusive vacation. How do I handle this, Emily? You can take your stomach and your brain wherever you go. Two to two. Just because the food's free, just because the drinks are free, doesn't mean you can't plan what you want and execute your plan. You can always, even if you don't know what they're going to have, what you're going to, you know, where you're going to be, you can always just commit. Okay. I'm going to eat my food, negative two to positive two, every day of the week, no matter where you are. And if I want to drink, I'm going to plan a specific number of drinks. A maximum number of drinks that I'm going to have every day, whether that's 8, 10, 12, whatever you want it to be. Corinne talks about going to Vegas. I mean, she plans multiple drinks a day, but she always overplans so that she is for sure following her plan. And that's what you should do. That's what you can do. That's what you can choose to do. It'd be an amazing opportunity for you to practice committing to something and following through. All right, y'all, I hate that we've got people who still want to get coached, but I will be back here on Sunday afternoon, and then I will be back here next Wednesday. So Jamie, Melissa, and Joanne, come back then, and we'll get you coached up then. Or you can always take your question to Ask Coaches, okay? So, all right, and I will work on being a little bit speedy. I think I was a little slow tonight with my coaching. So, but I hope it benefited y'all, and we'll just do it again on Sunday. Okay. And I'll also be talking about my planning process. Since I am going to be in Nashville during that call, I'm headed to Nashville on Saturday for our 6-day training. And so I'll be talking to y'all about how I plan my week when I'm out of town. So, and when I do not know what's being served, speaking of Emily. So, because I'm going to be eating at hotel buffets and room service and out to eat for 7 days. So I will let y'all know what I'm going to be doing on Sunday with all of that. So see you then. Okay. Bye.